And I've seen the conversation of how Walnut Hills is not a place that you want to be. And I've always been there. And then I've seen that because of location, 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 because people and the world has evolved, when you think of, and I, as I've been doing some review of saying, when did this really, the significant change start to happen? It is when the recession started to come out and people of in the business world realize there are things that we can do so that we're not so far away from our jobs. So the people who still live in suburbia and work in suburbia, they're out there. But the people who live in the and work in the city, they decided we know we want to come back to the city. And in addition to that, we had businesses moving in and expanding, and we go back to location, location, location. Walnut Hills is the best location in this city. We're up on a hill, you have views, we have the best park in the city, we have the museum, you know, if it is. We got in Walnut Hills, in Walnut Hills. They may try to say that it's downtown or Mount Adams, but I'm telling you, I have a picture. If you look at the history, it says that the Longworths donated the land to Walnut Hills for Eden Park to be built. It's the best park, right? It's the best park. So it goes back to the, not only do we have location, 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 we got the goods. That it can be, and when you think of the resurgence of being a walkable community, hello? So there's been this resurgence. Now, is that resurgence equitable for all? You know the answer. But the flip side of that is, how do we make it equitable for all? Because if you've done research on me, then you've probably seen in that Cincinnati Inquirer article that I believe, or the Cincinnati Magazine article, that I believe it can be equitable for all. But the only way it can be equitable for all is if all of us get at the table. That those who, and for me, I say, I want the independent pharmacist who's on the corner and the CEO of the business in the neighborhood at the same table talking about what do you want for your neighborhood. Because that independent pharmacist is an independent pharmacist for a reason. You all know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about an independent pharmacist?
Yeah.
He's out for a reason. What do we need to do as a community? Let's not even talk about a school. But as a community, what do we need to do to ensure that your best and highest good can be displayed in this community? Because not everybody wants to be a millionaire, but everybody wants to live with a roof over their head, a flushing toilet, turn on the faucet and the water runs, a warm bed on a cold night, and a cold room on a hot night. We all want that, no matter what we do.
So we've seen that you served as President of Walnut Hills Area Council and the former president of Walnut Hills Development Foundation. So what motivated you to become a leader in your community?
It wasn't a thought. I first volunteered at the age of 3. So giving back has just always been what you do. You volunteer where your passion lies. And so that's the thing I'd say to all of you. If you right now don't do it because it's the right thing to get on your college resume so you can get into school, do it because it's something that you're passionate about. So it doesn't matter where you go in the world, you can tap into that passion and already have a cohort, a tribe that you can connect with. Whether it's the arts, there are so many arts organizations. Social service, if it's little people, there are so many ways that you can give back. For me, it was in my neighborhood, in my community. What's a better way to serve than serve in my neighborhood?
What did you do at 3 years old?
At 3 years old, so back in the day, there was this little thing called the Jerry Lewis Telethon. And in the early, early days of the Jerry Lewis Telethon, people would go door to door and collect money. And then there, on the collection day, because it was always on Labor Day, you would go and you would deposit all the money that you collected at a point house. And my family's house was the point house for the Jerry Lewis Telethon. And my job was to separate the coins into like coinage. And then as I got older, it was to wrap the coins. And it was, I thought, even though it was volunteering, but it also was learning that hand-eye coordination and, you know, grouping. See, my grandmother and my mom, they had it down. But when you start giving back at a young age, it's just what you do. Personally, I step away from fear, hope, and expectation. So I do have expectations. And my expectation for my neighborhood is that we will find a way to be equitable for all. That we will find a way that with all the development that is coming in. So I'm going to answer that and take a step back. Public-private development is what brought development into my neighborhood. But now private development is what has taken over in my neighborhood. And when private developers, if there is a variance that they need, then they come to the community council. But if they're able to follow the form-based codes that we have, they're able to just do their developments as they want. So my expectation is that we will have developers that are not coming in just building for high end. That we will have developers that come in and realize what is missing, what housing stock is missing in our neighborhood. And if that means that it's not just the private developers coming in, but it's our nonprofit development corporation that we have in the neighborhood doing that really what is missing survey, and going after developers to help with that. I want it to be that it doesn't matter that I look different than you, that you speak to me. Because that truly is what I see diminishing. That as new residents are moving into the neighborhood, they're not coming to those third places and making community. And they're not coming to the area council so that they really can see what's going on. Because the reality is that most people live on their phones. Now, I don't know how you are in class, but if the teacher doesn't have your attention in 5 seconds, are you doodling or doing something else? Mm-hmm. So imagine that I believe that same sort of thing could be happening with some of our new residents, that they're distracted. And because they're distracted, they're not paying attention. And they're just being in their own world, but they're offending the culture of the neighborhood. Because the culture of the neighborhood is, we say hello. Mm-hmm. We wave. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. We're human. You know, human to human contact, relationships, that's the important thing in this world, having relationships. And hopefully the relationships we have are positive and help each party of that relationship move forward.
From what you've seen in your life so far, what comparisons can you make, or what would you like to say about our current political climate, whether that's on a regional or national level?
This symbol right here is the symbol of civic responsibility. I design with Adinkra symbols from Ghana, West Africa. And Adinkras were documented in the war of 1817 between Ghana and Britain. And the proverb of this symbol is, it is my responsibility to help build up my government. And we each need to do that. The current political climate is very unique to me in that, are we following the law of government? Or are we bending the law of government. And if you are of the ilk that we are bending the law of government, what is that going to do to this republic? Because we're not truly a democracy. We're a republic. And my thought is that we are doing a disservice by not being those in Washington, those in Columbus, those in downtown Cincinnati, that we do a disservice if we aren't clear about what we're doing. And I find it that we each need to stand up for all that we're doing in the political world, whatever your belief is. So my thing is, it's not important to me if you're of the Green Party, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the Independent Party. Are you of the Vote Party? Are you of the Speak Up Party? Are you of the Call Party? Are you of the Right Party, as in right? Because that's what makes a difference.
I'm teaching the 6 principles of the U.S. Constitution to 8th graders right now. It's so detached, like the concept of popular sovereignty, the idea that it is the people that drive and the government should be beholden to. Like, that's just detached. Oh. We think it's a separate thing.
Yeah.
Not that we are guiding them.
Yeah. I know that I have written, I have called, because being an advocate, first off, all of us should be advocates. If you don't know what district you're in, even before you are 18 and able to vote, go to the Hamilton County Board of Education website, put in your address, and see who your elected officials are. How do they align with your values? How do they align with your family's values? How do they align with the city's values, with your neighborhood's values? I mean, there's a culture that I suspect if I asked each of you to tell me what's the culture of your neighborhood, you'd be able to give me that. But are the elected officials down at City Hall, are they supporting your neighborhood's culture? And if they aren't, what are you doing? That's the advocacy part. That's the civic responsibility part. That didn't completely answer your question, though, did it? Mm-hmm. Or was that, whose question was that? The political climate.
No, I think they answered my question.
I think one that got skipped over was just, Joanne showed us some pictures related to your life and Wanna Hills. One was your house on Ruth Avenue, mm-hmm. which is, as a Wanna Hills graduate, so close to Walnut Hills, but yet you went to Seven Hills. Mm-hmm. We're just kind of interested in that.
Yes. So I am the product of an educator, and that educator, so this is like the back in the 70s when I was, no, in the 60s when I was in elementary school. My mother was not going to have me going to Hoffman or Parham because they were not going to give her child the education that she wanted her child to have. So I went to Clifton, but we didn't live in Clifton. You can figure that one out. And then it came time for 7th grade, and Mom looked at Walnut, she looked at who I was, and she was like, nah, big school, not you. And it's true, I'm not a big school person. I'm not a big crowd kind of person. So we looked at options. One was boarding school. Thank heavens that one didn't come to fruition. And it was Seven Hills. And it was interesting, again, my mother having the forethought of, She wanted me to have the education she wanted me to have. And I realized that part of that education was, how do you walk in the world once you're out of high school, once you're out of college, with people who really are at a different level than you are? And so I went to Seven Hills. And for 7th and 8th grade, there were a few other students of color. And then in 9th grade, so I also lived through a merger. And the merger caused an exodus of students as well. There were two schools, Hillsdale Lots Beach and the College Preparatory School. And they merged and created the Seven Hills Schools, which is the Doherty campus on Johnstone right off of Madison Road, and then the middle school and upper school on Red Bank Road. Well, the middle school didn't even exist when, back in 78, 79, just wasn't there. So it was a very unique, because there were only 48 of us. My 40th high school reunion is this year.
So were there other students of color in the upper grades besides you?
I was the only one in my class, and in the class behind me, I think they had a couple. There was never more than three or four, and classes are very small. So they're about 50. 60 at the max, which is much different than today. Today, an average class size is in the 90s. And they say that their minority student population has expanded. I vocally protest in that, yes, on paper, because you have East Indians, yes, you have increased your minority population, but you truly have not increased the socioeconomic population of your school. Because I went in a time when there wasn't even scholarships, which also helped with that multi-generational, because they said, you know, no house payment. My grandparents bought that house in 1944. So with no house payments, you're able to pay a tuition.
Did you enjoy your time there when you were there, though?
Like, I did. High school? I did. So Seven Hills, it was a well-rounded experience. Academics, arts, and sports had equal importance. And I don't even think they're able to do that now with how they've grown. But equal importance really meant that I was a well-rounded individual when I graduated and moving on to college.
I think the bell's
gonna catch
up. I would love to post for a picture of the bell.
I'll just come around.
Sue would be so angry if another one of our get togethers ended with no picture.
I'm sorry.